I am glad for this privilege. You have more learned scholar out here who could be speaking this morning, but my name came up and I am it. So, the last stanza of the verse say, Almighty Father, Master, Lord, King of all kings, Redeemer, Wonderful Counselor, Comforter, Friend, Savior, Source of our life without end. All those words, and not only that, He's worthy of our praise, of our worship, and all our resources. Last week, our brother speak in Hebrews of the warnings. He was supposed to get our the notes for last week meeting, but he didn't. So I got to do a little of that. So if you turn your Bibles into Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read from verse 13. Sometimes you think you know a person and you don't. I always say to Joy, I think I know you by now, but sometimes you do stuff that just throw me off. And, you know, two people married for 30-something years. And, you know, so this was one of the reasons here in this little passage we have that shows us even when the Lord and His disciples were together, some of them really didn't know Him. And it comes down to Jesus having to say to them, who do you say that I am? All right, let's read. Verse 13 said, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also said to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Yes? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Each one of us this morning have to ask this question. Do you really believe that He is the Son of God, the one who came? The one who came, went to the cross, and died there for us. Well, a couple notes here said, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Like Peter, we should take a stand to trust Jesus enough to believe what He says about His death and resurrection, and to follow Him on the same path. Believing in Jesus, the Son of the living God, is the essence of our Christian life. It means that we are willing to have our life turned upside down, that we are ready to give up seeking our own pleasure, our prosperity. It means that we give our time, our energy, and our resources, and our very life to serve others. The Jesus we confess as Christ is the Jesus who died on the cross. When we follow Him, we go where He goes, to give our lives and thereby to receive our lives back again from Him. So this is the essence of it. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have to show that you really believe. You have to put away all the it's my time, it's your time, it's my life, and I do as I please. No. If we believe in Jesus, Jesus as the first day in your life. Let's read on. Verse 20, he said, Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus, the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer, and many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So you see, 1 minute, Peter is praising the Lord God, and another minute, his mind is right down here where we are on the earth. Jesus had to rebuke him. Yes, Jesus Christ came for one thing. He came to go to the cross, to die for our sins. And that's what he came to do. That's what he was trying to tell his disciples. Some of them believed. Some still didn't get it. They didn't grasp it. And so he continued to tell them. But some of us, you know, like us, we're human and we are hard. Our brains sometimes don't get it. We have to go over and over and over and over. Some of us who are teachers here know that. You know, before we said, I finally got it. Yes, human beings are one of the funnest thing in life. You try and you try and you try and you keep on trying. But Jesus, he didn't shun away from that. He told them, I have to go to the cross because that's my mission. That's what I came for. I got to pay the penalty of sin for all of us because of our forefathers. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man come in his kingdom. So, if you believe in Jesus, in verse 24, here Jesus is telling us three things we have to do. One, we have to deny ourselves. And how do we do that? Denying ourselves, that means you live a life for him only. You know, not your life. You deny yourself of all the privileges for the Savior's sake. In other words, serving others before even myself. Denying yourself. And secondly, take up the cross. What is the cross? We see what the cross means: death, degradation, shame. Jesus did these things for us. And if we are taking up our cross, that's some of the things we have to bear. And then we have to follow him. How do we follow him? In his footsteps? Yes? You're going to follow him? Then these are some of the things we have to do. And then he goes on to say, for what profit if a man gains the whole world, in other words, all the stuff you can imagine, you know, all the stuff, these gadgets and electronics and lands and money and gold and riches, and then you come to the end of that road, and the Lord said, I know you not. Dear ones, he's telling us this. And then there is some of them who will not see death until the Son of Man comes. So this was a glimpse of last week's message that we should hear. But it was given to me that I should do a little of it. So I did that. So we're going to go right into this week's message, which is Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to read from verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, and let's talk about the transfiguration of Jesus. I don't know if you or I was there when Jesus transfigured, you know, it would maybe blow our minds away. Something that he kind of showed to his disciples, what he is, his glory. He was kind of revealing that to them. So let's read Matthew chapter 17 and reading from verse 1. Now after 6 days, this was after he speak to the apostle and his disciples there. 6 days after that, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Let's just stop there for a moment. Right up here in the first couple of verses, we see here Jesus taking these three disciples. You know, they were all like always in the front. You know, in this chapel you have people who do the work and those who like help, but they're not like up front. Like Benny's up here all the Sundays helping, and Mike is always here speaking. So some of us who are workers, and these guys looked like they were the worker, and Jesus took them up on this mountain, high mountain. We call it the high mountain experiences. And if you have been reading your Bible, you know there was a couple of high mountain experience. One of them was the burning of the bush in Exodus 3 and verse 1. Number 2 is the giving of the law, Exodus 19, verse 20. And you remember when the Lord spoke to Elijah, 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. And then the big one is when Jesus himself gave the Sermon on the Mount, and that is Matthew 5 and verse 1. High mountain experience. You know, anytime you go in the Bible and there's these big acts or revelation being performed there. And these are some of them. Great revelation. We don't know. We know these guys who was there, who appear in the transfiguration. Moses and Elijah. Why did they appear? Some commentators said Moses appeared because he represent the law. And Elijah appeared because he was taken up into heaven. Others said Moses represent the people and Elijah represent the prophets. But one of the things that's recorded in the Bible that I read, Moses and Elijah, they did very great mountaintop experience too, like the Lord, and they did some miracles, but all of them wasn't as great as the Lord here. The Lord bring them back into this. Why this happened is that Moses and Elijah, these were recorded in scriptures. God had promised Israel, like Moses, in Deuteronomy 18 and 19, that they would appear. And Elijah, too, was promised in the salvation before the Lord came in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. These are what the Lord God had provided these men to appear there. They were, as a matter of fact, they didn't even recognize him because of the brightness. His appearance blow them away. They fell on the ground. And verse 4 said, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three booths or three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples hear it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Yes, the Lord himself bring this cloud over them that they were afraid and they fell on their faces. And you know, when in the previous verse where the Lord said to Peter, the Lord had let him know about this, but here the Lord himself revealed it to them. The Lord said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him, because he's telling you the truth. You don't have to go around it. You don't have to think about it." What Peter was saying, that the Lord didn't have to go to the cross, but God was saying to him, whatever he said to you, hear him. And that's what he did here. He said that, hear him. I don't know about you, but with our little mind, it's just frazzled away sometimes. God was showing his people, his disciples, what his glory would be. And they couldn't get it in. They couldn't get it in. Maybe we would be the same. We couldn't get it in. Verse 7 said, "And but Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." And that's what we should strive for this day in all our Christian endeavor. No one. We shouldn't see no one but the Master, the Christ, Jesus Christ alone, who died for my sin and died for your sin. You know, mankind will get us into trouble, but he can't get us out. God, sending his Son, died there for us. And we who have accepted him as Lord and Savior for life, he is the one that we see this morning. Risen, glorified, ascended, and his word said he's coming back again. Those are some of the things we take in consideration this morning, dear ones. And verse 9, he said, "Now they came down from the mountain. Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciple asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has already come, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they liked. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist." Yes, the Lord Jesus was telling them that he had to go to the cross. He had to suffer. He said that first over there, and now he's saying that here in verse in the chapter 17. But you know, sometime when we think of it, when somebody speak, you don't believe them. That's why sometimes you have to give the notes, the verses, and where it's found, so that you can go home and check it for yourself. Right? But Jesus himself, he told them, and then the Father confirmed it, that this is my beloved Son. Hear him. But still they didn't get it. You know? And then the Lord Jesus, he said to them again, "No, tell no one about this miracle. What you have seen here, say to no one until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead." Why do you think that? Well, they were with him all this time, and they didn't believe. Are some of us like that? You tell somebody something and they don't believe you, and you go to somebody else and you ask? Or do you believe them at first sight as they tell you? We should not have a question, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Should we? No. Because it's right here in His Word. You can read it for yourself. You can ask somebody to look it up if you don't know where it's fine, and you can read it. Yes, you don't have to second guess it. I'm just filling in here this morning. And you have to study the Word where it's found. And if you don't believe me, you got these back up. You can go back it up for yourself. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem mankind. And this is one time that He will come. He come already, and He's coming again to take us forever to be with Him. His disciples have to think of what they see during all that time. Because He tell them not to tell no one. So they have that in their heart, thinking and pondering. Why? What? Resurrection, the transfiguration tell us that Jesus is the glorious divine Lord. His death tell us He gave His life for all sinners. His resurrection tell us that He triumphed over death and evil and the grave. Now the disciples will begin to understand it after He resurrect. And then we see the Lord suffering. He said that here. We see Him as a suffering servant because He was sent to do the work. And He willingly went and did that work. Without the suffering of Jesus, He could not fill the promise for which He came. And without the suffering, He cannot rule in the way He has come to rule. On the other hand, you look at it both ways. You see, on one hand, we see Jesus, the Lord of glory, the Almighty King, God Himself who entered the world as a human being. And on the other hand, we see Jesus Himself willingly suffered and died on behalf of the unworthy. We understand, we will understand these too when we get there. How about us this morning? You know, Christians suffer. We suffer because we are Christians and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people suffer, but because you take a stand sometime, you suffer more. And Jesus, He didn't say we wouldn't suffer. He saved us. But suffering, you see how He suffered, the man of glory. Forever He was rich, and for our sake He became poor. And we have this privilege this morning. You can either reject Him, deny Him, or you can receive Him as your Lord, your King, your Redeemer. One day He's coming back to receive us as Lord and Savior of the world. Just a couple of more verses. Verse 10 said, "And His disciple asked Him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to him, Indeed, Elijah is coming first, and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has already come. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they did. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer in their hands. Then the disciple understood that he spoke of John the Baptist." Yes, Jesus was telling them about John the Baptist here. John the Baptist, he came. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speak to all the people. but they did not believe him. Some did, some not. But the rulers, what did they do? They killed him, right? So the Lord was looking to do that. They did this before the Lord came, and he was the forerunner. So he did this. And the Lord was going to go the same way as John the Baptist did. He was looking to go to Calvary. But his Father was going to raise them with power and might, and the living God himself would come forth. Dear ones, we are living in a days where Christianity is being manhandled, being abused, being whatever you call it. All in our little corner, as we grew up and as we serve the Lord, let's do what we have to do to serve him. Because that day is coming when he's going to say to you or to me, you have been faithful to what you're doing. Welcome into my Father's house. Until that day come, until we see his blessed face, let us all continue to worship him, to give him thanks, and to praise him for what he has done for us, what he's doing at the present time for us, and what he's going to do in the future for us. If you're here and you haven't made that decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe this day, if you're ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of you to own him. But if you're not ashamed and you're still here and you're putting it off, you know, you're thinking like Peter or the disciples, not knowing, today grace is still offered to you and you can come and receive it. But if you pass into the presence of God and you're not saved, then you're going to hear the word, "Depart from me, I know you not." Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Help us, dear Father, to be humble. And just help us this day to go home and look into your word again. And cause that we might understand it more. We bless your name. We glorify your Son. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.